Welcome to the Future of Work series presented by Algonquin College's Corporate Learning Center. I'm your host, Doug Weatherspoon, the Chief Learning Officer of an amazing team of creative professionals that are dedicated to helping individuals and organizations thrive. In this series, we're sharing some fantastic insights to help you optimize both yourself and your organization for the future of work. Well, welcome to the podcast, everyone. Today, we're going to be talking to Shopify's Katrina Moss, who leads the acceleration team for one of the world's fastest growing companies. Over the next few minutes, Katrina will introduce you to the concept of the growth mindset and share some of the practices that Shopify has put in place, the aim of embedding it across the entire organization. Well, thanks for joining us, Katrina. Really just a pleasure to have you with us. Why don't we kick things off by you telling us a little bit about yourself and your journey at Shopify, and then we'll get into the topic at hand of growth mindset.
Thank you, Doug. Sounds great. Okay, a little bit about me and where I've come from. Really, the topic of growth mindset is very near and dear to me, and it is because I wasn't always very good at practicing a growth mindset. When I was growing up, I had dyslexia, and it made it really difficult for me to read and write at the level of my peers. And the influence that that had on me early on was that it created a lot of self-limiting beliefs. And so I spent a lot of my earlier years in a fixed mindset, thinking that talents were something that you were born with, and that was really the end of it. So best to stick in areas where you're good. And it actually influenced the career choices that I made early on. My first career choice was in hairstyling, and I really did love it, but it was safe. It was something that exercised my innate talents of being creative and social, and kept me securely away from the areas that were difficult for me. And it wasn't until I couldn't continue doing that work because I developed really severe eczema that I learned through having to go back to school and try another career, that I actually could be good and capable in the areas where I didn't believe I was before. So it was going back to school as an adult that really taught me what it meant to embrace what I learned later was a growth mindset, and how incredible that's been for me since that discovery. It's really been what's allowed me to be confident enough to start my own business, to apply for a job at Shopify and be accepted onto the team, and to have success since being there, and really in so many other areas of my life. So I joined Shopify just about 5 years ago, and have been feeling like it was the first place where I was really among a lot of like-minded folks who also believed in this mindset, and really has been my mission since being there to help spread that even more deliberately throughout the company.
You know, your journey is very similar to almost everybody out there. I think everybody has a little bit of doubt or a sense of what, you know, they should or should not be doing. And so, you know, arming people with the skills to be able to recognize that we're not predefined at birth, that we are very much kind of works in progress, and that we have the capacity, especially if the mindset is one of opportunity and optimism. So let's dive into the whole concept of growth mindset, introduced by Carol Dweck, a Stanford professor, in her book, Mindset, the New Psychology of Success. What's your definition of growth mindset?
The way I think of it, Doug, is that growth mindset is the belief that you can learn and grow throughout your entire life, and being focused on the process of improvement as more important than how you look and how you come across.
That sense that it's the how rather than the what you are, but at that particular moment, but the how you approach almost every issue, every life challenge, every thought is this idea of a more, am I right to assume, a positive intent kind of perspective?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that growth mindset goes hand in hand with optimism. And I think that it also goes hand in hand with seeing abundance in things versus scarcity. So the way I see it is that when you embrace a growth mindset, you are more curious for what you don't know than preserving what you do. And that it, in that state of mind, you're able to actually take on things that you didn't think were possible for you before.
And juxtapose that to the fixed mindset. You know, how, what's the interplay between the two?
So a fixed mindset really is a belief that the talents you're born with are the ones that you've got. And so it really plays off this idea that you can't learn and grow. There's not really a lot of point in that because you've already had a predisposed set of capabilities that you are born with. And then to me, it also goes hand in hand with, because of that, there's a lot of fear. There's a lot of scarcity thinking. So you're really on the lookout to preserve what you know.
We kind of live in a world of both fixed mindset and growth mindset. Can we live in both of those worlds at the same time? Do they happen? Is it a kind of straight line journey from fixed to growth? What does that interplay look like?
Yeah, I kind of think of it as like a fan and the way that they oscillate from side to side. I'm pretty sure in any given hour, you can shift between the two very easily, depending on the topic, what kind of trigger points that might hit on for you, your own lived experiences. So I believe that it's absolutely a movement between fixed and growth constantly. And really the aim is to stay in growth more often, more of the time, because of the amazing benefits that has on you continually growing as a human.
You know, the reality of kind of living in both of these worlds reminds me of an Algonquin Anishinaabe teaching of good wolf, bad wolf, that we have both a good wolf and a bad wolf in us. And it's really a matter of which one we feed the most, which one we nurture, as to which one ultimately kind of wins and is most present. And I find it fascinating that there's just so much in Indigenous culture that is that we're kind of relearning, but we're relearning it in new ways, but it's still very similar concepts.
That's super cool. And yeah, I think it's a lot of work to be in growth because it does challenge you. It does pull you out of your comfort zone. So I can appreciate that it's a daunting idea to execute a lot of the time, but the rewards that you get from being growth oriented, it means that you get to experience things and, you know, take risks that lead to really exciting outcomes much more of the time. So there's never been a time in my life where I've thought, wow, I'm really glad I was in a fixed mindset during that phase.
Great point. So let's kind of fast forward now. You're at Shopify. You've been there for a number of years now, and you lead the learning acceleration team. What is Shopify's journey through this growth mindset been? When did they start to pick up on it? How was it introduced? And I guess, where does the role of leadership play in an organization's adoption of growth mindset?
I'll speak to my own experience of when I first heard the term growth mindset. And it was in, when I joined, we had a really informal onboarding experience for everyone that wasn't in the support function, talking with our merchants. So for all those other roles, you joined and really just kind of, you know, figured it out, joined your team and went forward. So that was actually my role when I joined, was to create an onboarding program for the whole company. As I was creating some content for that and what that could look like, our leadership team would periodically just kind of sit in the CAF, and you could tune in to a discussion, and we called them fireside chats, and they would be a chance to hear, you know, what it meant for them to be successful at Shopify. And I remember really distinctly hearing Toby talk about growth mindset and how he thought that it was just absolutely critical to hold that mindset most of the time to be successful at Shopify. And I really stuck on to that moment and remember thinking, okay, I really want to know a lot more about this. And then I read Carol Dweck's book because we had something called a book bar, where a lot of the books that the leadership or influencers in the company would read would be available for others to just grab and go, you know, so they could enjoy the same types of ideas. So I read Mindset and I thought that it was so powerful and explained the lived experience that I'd had so acutely that I really wanted to make sure that we were sharing it more deliberately throughout the company. So then it became an exercise of figuring out how to do that, which was a lot of experimentation, but really it became curating a lot of really great resources that already exist. Like there's a really cool website called Train Ugly with a bunch of growth mindset material, Carol Dweck's materials, of course. And really, I was on the lookout for things that would reinforce that concept so that anyone who joined Shopify could learn more about it and understand how they could be more deep practitioners of the mindset.
I really love the story you're telling, because really what you're talking about is how we have this misconception, I think, that large organizations, when we kind of start to recognize them, were fully formed when they started. And what you're telling us is that, in fact, no, really, the organizations evolve just like we all do. And a kernel of an idea around growth mindset was obviously present in the work and the leadership of the team. Toby obviously had a fairly significant impact on it. But the reality is that this has kind of been self-made through the organization over time. And then I think that gives hope to almost any organization going through something similar.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I love the idea of taking something important that's not really tangible yet and making it deliberate. So, you know, everyone knew this idea of growth mindset, had heard of it and could speak to an understanding. But then when it came to actually applying it or figuring out what it looked like to practice, it kind of, you know, here comes some crickets. We don't know. How do we do that? So I was really keen personally to bring that to life, to figure out ways that we could do that, which for me broke down into those four key ingredients of effort, challenge, mistakes, and feedback. And that if you created conditions for people to embrace that for whatever skill they were hoping to learn, then that was how they could practice that mindset.
Break that down for us. You just mentioned those four key ingredients: effort, challenge, mistakes, and feedback. Do you want to give us a small little intro to each one of those, and kind of why do you need the combination of those four?
Yeah, absolutely. So really what I'm saying when I mention those is that in order to get better at something, because really what growth mindset is recognizing that you can get better and then putting the emphasis towards that. So in any skill area where you want to improve, you need to apply some effort, because we all know that when you want to get better at something, it's not easy. It takes you to be deliberate and to put time and energy into that thing. So in a growth mindset, you see effort as useful because you understand that it's necessary. And then similarly with challenge, that second ingredient, you know that that's also necessary because you have to embrace the difficulty that comes with getting better at something. And that can look very tangibly like taking on a stretch assignment, you know, something that is a little outside of your current capabilities that would allow you on the other side of it to have a new set of skills. And so when you're in a growth mindset, you look forward to those opportunities and you understand that they're necessary. When it comes to mistakes, that third ingredient, in a growth mindset, you know that they're a necessary ingredient for you to learn. So if we avoid mistakes, we miss out on playing with just enough risk to know what good looks like. And ultimately, you need those mistakes in order to actually understand how to get better. And then the last one with feedback, the last ingredient in a growth mindset, you actually appreciate it and use it, even if, heaven forbid, it's not delivered very well, which is the reality. A lot of the time we get really stuck on people not delivering feedback in the best way. And that's certainly an area where lots of folks can improve, but that's not the emphasis with a growth mindset. Instead, the emphasis is on what's the nugget of truth in that feedback and how can I grow from it.
You talk about kind of the three R's around feedback: receive, reflect, and then respond. And is that something that you teach your managers or teach each other to do at Shopify?
Well, you know, it may be, and it may have evolved since my time being there, because so many things move so quickly at Shopify and I've been off for almost a year. But I can say that I know that the concept of being good at receiving feedback is a part of our leadership development. It's not just about being great at delivering it, which is often the emphasis in a lot of feedback learning programs, but really being a great receiver of feedback is such an important skill. And so those three R's is one mental model for how to do that, to actually receive it. So take a moment to understand the information that's being given. And then the most important, in my view, the second R, which is to reflect. So take some time to truly understand what's being shared with you and think about it and let your lizard brain calm down and not, you know, defend against the information. And then respond, which may be a simple thank you or might be digging a little deeper to understand the information that's been shared.
Well, the reason I'm asking is that I have found, you know, if we look at, you know, our offices sit across from, you know, we're right in the downtown core of Ottawa. Our offices sit across from chapters. In chapters, there are literally thousands of books that talk about how to go about leading organizations, leading yourself, improving. And so with all of that knowledge, I'm always, I guess, conflicted or trying to figure out why is it that with all this knowledge, we still have organizations that have, you know, terrible leaders or leaders that aren't fully formed yet, fully developed. And we have so much capacity in and love. I don't know of anybody that wakes up a morning and says, you know, I'm going to go to work today to really mess things up. So we have such positive intent all over the world, all over our organizations, and yet we're still not able to kind of capture the full opportunity. Why is that? And I go back to kind of the deliberate practice of some of these kind of key concepts and how do you go about as an organization being deliberate in the practice of growth mindset?
Right. I like to think of that as looking at it from two angles. The one is, and probably the most important, is looking at it from the individual perspective. So how can you as a person seek out opportunities to practice a growth mindset without always leaning on the organization to provide it, which is critical, but it's two sides of the coin. So you as a person get the opportunity to practice growth mindset, not just at work, but in your whole life. And to me, that's been transformational. So this idea of understanding that if I'm not good at something, it may just be that I'm not good at it yet. And with enough practice that I carve out for myself and being deliberate about developing that skill, then I will improve. And so I say the individual is so important because you take you with you wherever you go. And that's something that benefits you in every area of your life. So there's the you and what you can do to practice. And then there's the organization and the conditions they can create for a growth mindset environment to thrive. And on that side of the coin, what I think is really important is to recognize the behaviors of your collective organization and when there's a lack of learning, and then create deliberateness for it. So a couple of tangible things we do at Shopify with that in mind is we do hack days, where you have a couple of days per quarter. I think that may be more like every 3 months instead of four now. But ultimately, the idea is that you get these couple of days to zoom out from your existing work and focus 100% on learning something new, with the intent being that you come up with a really cool idea that serves our merchants, that serves the people that we are there to serve ultimately. And then we have other really cool ways of creating those types of deliberate practice, like making Wednesdays a day where you're invited to avoid meetings and to actually spend time in deliberate practice on whatever skill that you're hoping to learn. And then smaller rituals like Friday fails, where teams can share things that they're trying to do better and what happened for them during that learning experience. So here's what I tried this week. Here's what went wrong. Here's what I learned. And normalizing that in groups so that people know that taking time for learning is important and that it's not the end of the world making mistakes in an effort to improve.
I love what you guys are doing at Shopify. And you know, this whole idea, I mean, how does this happen in a company that this year became the highest valued company in all of Canada? Didn't start out the year like that, but it's certainly finishing it strong. So there's lots of change going on. You're continuing to grow. So having this deliberate practice and having kind of this program is essential. You introduced today on our speaker series this kind of model, this three-pronged model that you have at Shopify about implementing growth mindset. And so talked a little bit about culture and communication norms. You talked this idea, which we're going into more detail around the systems and the work practices, and then this idea of talent programs. So why don't we talked a little bit about the systems and work practices and the hack days and the Wednesday, no meeting days. Talk a little bit about how does culture and communication norms set it all off?
Right. So almost every organization, when they get to a certain size, creates a sense of values, right? So like shared thinking on what allows you to be successful there. And so Shopify has a set of core values, specifically culture values. And one of those culture values is actually to be a constant learner. And the reason that's important is because it sends a signal to anyone who's currently in the organization or aspiring to be a part of it to know that for you to be successful there, you have to be someone who is willing to be a constant learner. And the fine print of that is really to say that you're someone who practices a growth mindset, who is on the lookout for staying curious to things that they don't yet know. And then when they become capable in a particular area, then you become a teacher so that you can create an ecosystem of learners and teachers for the benefit of the organization and really for the benefit of the person for their ongoing growth. So that's an example of how we have a cultural norm that really supports growth mindset. And then in our communications, really, it's just such a topic that we speak about so regularly that it becomes embedded in the fabric. You'd see it in communications shared by leadership, across teams, whenever we'd have things like summits where people come together to be inspired with different things that we're planning to do for the year. Growth mindset inevitably arises because it's just such an important way of us being successful. And then in our talent programs, really the area I'm the most passionate about, of course, is learning and development, because that's where I've chosen to take my career. But what I feel so powerful is that it becomes an opportunity for people to have a safe space to practice growth mindset. So we have in our onboarding program the opportunity to learn more intimately about what it means to be growth mindset oriented, what to look out for when you find yourself in fixed so that you can shift, because there is a way to help break yourself out of the habit of being in fixed most of the time. And then also teaching our leaders in our leadership development program how to create the conditions for their own teams to exercise a lot of growth mindset. And then for them, of course, as learners, when they're engaging in our leadership program, to actually really step in deeply out of performance zone and into learning zone so they can embrace that mindset for their own learning.
I just love that. You know, three buckets: culture and communication norms, systems and work practices, and then the talent program that ensures you're kind of continuously learning and developing, and everybody enters at a slightly different state, but everybody needs this idea of, or core to the concept is this idea of continuous improvement. So I just love that you've thought about it in that framework. I think that's really going to be helpful to folks. One of the things that I think is kind of one of these key underlining components, and you touched on it a little bit in our speaker series earlier today, this idea of psychological safety, vulnerability, this idea that you have around Friday fails. Do you want to talk a little bit about that and where it fits within this growth mindset work?
Yeah, absolutely. So when we talk about getting better at something, inherent with that is that it's vulnerable, because a lot of our culture really reinforces this idea that you already have to be good at things, that we have to look good all the time. We have to get results and put our best foot forward. And it's not as though that's not important, but it doesn't recognize or appreciate the fact that when you're not good at something, that's a little scary if you don't have safety around it to get better. And so what psychological safety really means to me is creating an environment where the people that you work with know that they can screw up in the benefit of getting better. And what's important to highlight there is that there are distinctions between when you're expected to be good at your core work, what you've been hired to do, and then there's also times when you have to stretch yourself and get better or develop new skills. And that's where I believe it's very critical to have that safety so that people know that they can actually try things, make mistakes, and that will be welcomed and ultimately required for them to get better. So leaders have such an awesome opportunity to create those conditions. It can even look like having Friday fails or being willing to connect your team members with other team members deliberately that have different skill sets and are hoping to learn from each other, and then giving them chances to practice together. So as a leader, just making that safe is creating a learning zone.
Yeah, one of the things that I have found works well is, one, in our group, every team member is leading an improvement. It can be a small, can be large, but every individual on the team has something that they're leading. And we have what we call demo days once a month, where everybody stands up for a few minutes. Some cases it might be upwards of 15, but on average it's about 5. And they give an update on the things that they're working on, the improvement that they're working on. Mm-hmm. And what we found with that cadence, in fact, I would do it more if we could, that once you get somebody through the first time that they do these demo days, they realize that nobody's trying to catch them doing something wrong.
Right.
That sits in the back of, especially millennials these days, there, you know, many that worry about, well, how is this going to make me look? Mm-hmm. And we have to make learning, the act of learning, how people will look at you, not what you're learning or how fast you're learning, but the actual process. It goes back to your concept. The process really is the important part. And if you keep committed to kind of the deliberate practice of a growth mindset, you will get to the end results, but you don't have to worry about how fast you get there. Just worry about the process you've put in place to put you on the path to it.
That's right. And make tons of space for it. And yes, it's going to take effort and it's going to be more than probably a friend you know puts into their work. And that's totally okay, because the idea is you don't get to improvement without those things. So you have to be willing to carve out the time and the energy to do it. And I mentioned this earlier too, but the rewards of that are incredible. I can't believe how many things that 10 years ago I would have thought there's no chance I could do because I was stuck in more of that fixed mindset more of the time, and how much that's changed for me since. Now I really don't feel like there's much that I couldn't at least put a heck of a lot of effort into and see some ability to do well. So I think that's incredible for people. It's not an unhealthy amount of confidence. It's a belief in yourself enough that with effort and practice that you can improve.
Couldn't agree with you more. It really does change you and change your organization. Or me personally, I've just, the experience that I've gone through, and I think I've just grown so much over the last couple of years in how I lead, how I expect others to lead, and more importantly, how I lead myself. So mm-hmm. I couldn't agree with you. You know, we've talked a little bit, and you know, we're in the enviable situation in which, you know, Shopify has the resources, has the leadership that has kind of embraced this concept. Let's flip this around. We've got lots of folks that are probably listening that, you know, believe in this, but their organization maybe isn't as ready, or at least that's the perception that they might have. Mm-hmm. Walk us through what an individual might be able to do. What could a leader do that's maybe sitting in the organization, wants to kind of try adopting some of these concepts, but doesn't necessarily know where to start? Any thoughts for them?
Yeah, absolutely. And I just want to say, if that's you, I really do understand. And I know that it can be intimidating. And so we want to focus on, like, what are those micro things that you can influence, the things around you that you have the opportunity to create that ripple effect so that others can then feel the impacts. And so it can start with things like, look for like-minded individuals, because you will have some. So whether that's on your own team or teams that you work with closely, could be a completely different area of the business, but there will be others that also are passionate about this mindset, practice it regularly, and see the benefits. And creating communities of practice with those folks, creating opportunities for that to become more of a norm as a practice in your organization, can have a powerful viral effect for the rest of the organization. And the example that I'll offer is the design team at Shopify were the ones that created Fresh Eyes as a practice to share a project in the middle of its creation to ultimately pick it apart and look for what wasn't right yet about it so that it could be improved. And that model became something that many other teams throughout the organization started to use. And there was no senior leadership required for that to go viral like it did. It was just a great idea that people could see the benefits of and were willing to make space in order to practice. So look for like-minded individuals and then look for influencers. So that may be someone in a leadership position, but it also might be someone who's just very well respected in your organization. Maybe they're awesome at their craft. Maybe they're really well spoken, or they've spent quite a bit of time there and they have a great reputation. But there are influencers that you can find that can also support you in spreading this growth mindset through perhaps starting up some work practices or influencing others with making this more of a cultural norm, as an example.
I just love it. We've gone from kind of defining what we think a growth mindset is, this belief that everybody can grow, that everybody can improve, that it's about the process of learning and the kind of deliberate practice of continuous improvement, either personally or organizationally. You've talked a little bit about the four ingredients that you think are required for this: effort, challenge, mistakes, and feedback. And this idea that we live in both worlds, the fixed and the growth mindset, and it's really a matter of which one you feed the most. This idea of using feedback, which I think so many organizations, because we're so busy doing, don't take enough time. And if we could carve out a little bit more time for that reflection, this idea of receiving, reflecting, which you think is so important, and then responding. And then lastly, the whole idea of how do you go about putting it into place in an organization, and Shopify's framework for that is this idea of culture and communication norms, systems and work practices, and then finally the talent program that continues to develop everybody in their skill sets. It's just a hugely helpful way of looking at growth mindset that I think everybody can find value in. So as we kind of near the end here, I wanted to shift it up a little bit and ask you a couple of questions that are outside of growth mindset, but probably linked. You're a new mother, a little over a year. What has Lincoln taught you?
Oh, that actually hits me right in the feels. Almost makes me want to cry, because he's just, it's amazing. I was so looking forward to being a mom for so many reasons, but a lot of it too was because it would be the ultimate growth mindset experience, this little human that's just like a sponge that you have the opportunity to influence. And he just teaches, if you watch a baby, they are in learning zone about, you know, 90% of their day. And then you see the odd time where they repeat a task that's cool and, you know, they're good at. But most of the time they're just fumbling around, figuring things out. And then you see how much fun they're having while they're doing it. And it really helps like shake you up in the idea that it has to be hard, because it really doesn't seem that hard for them. They're actually having a really good time. So that's one thing that I can take away from watching him. And just, there's so much, but ultimately I think they teach you what to prioritize. And for me, if something's just staying where you are, you know, if I was going back to work and all I was going to do was just stay in my safe zone and do what I'm good at, it wouldn't feel like the right trade-off. I'd rather just be with him. So it also teaches me to make the best of my time and to continue growing so I can be great for him too.
Ah, so cool. I'm just so thrilled for you and the family. And so let me just ask one last question. Mm-hmm. Can you think back to somebody in your life that has given you a piece of advice that has really held true, something you could share with others that you think it really was a kind of a moment what kind of got you on a slightly different path? Is there somebody that comes to mind, or a lesson that was learned as a result of that?
It's not necessarily like, it's one of those motivated by a fire under me scenarios. But I remember when I was working as a hairstylist, I worked for the same salon for a long time. and the owner of the salon and I became almost like business partners, because when I couldn't work with my hands anymore and I was going back to school, I started shifting over into helping him run the operations. And I remember him one day, we're sitting down, we're frustrated, we're trying to figure out something. And he draws this picture and he goes, "This is you right now, Katrina." And he draws this tiny little circle. And then he draws a massive circle around it. And he says, "And this is your potential." And at the time I was so offended. I was like, that is, you know, so rude. He's calling me small. He's saying I'm not capable. And I look back at that and how much that lit a fire under me to be filling that circle and filling that potential, that it was actually quite a motivating pivotal moment for me that I still think about today. So maybe my message in that is that it's not always the positive experiences that will motivate you, but that if you can find the opportunities in those types of dialogues too, there's lots of chances to, you know, see nuggets for growth for sure.
Well, isn't that all about feedback? And right. Oftentimes feedback isn't necessarily the best, right? But it's when you actually take the time to kind of, when you talk a little bit, receive it and then reflect on it. And then ultimately it's all about the response afterwards. So, well, Katrina, just on behalf of everybody at Algonquin College and all those that are kind of listening to the Future of Work podcast and speaker series, I just wanted to say thank you for spending the time with us. I think you are one of the brightest folks I've ever had the opportunity to meet.
Wow.
You've had a spectacular impact on me personally and the way I lead the team. So I just, I'm grateful. So thank you for joining us. Thanks for sharing your talent and we'll let you get back to the little one.
Such a pleasure, Doug. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. I hope everyone who's listening really enjoyed the conversation. Have a great day, everyone.
Well, that's it for this episode of the Future of Work series. Let's keep the conversation going. So follow us on social media and learn about our events at futureofworkseries.ca. I'm Doug Weatherspoon. Thanks for joining us.